2 weeks ago, we started a series called Rooted. And it's talking about having deep roots in a world that wants us to be shallow. And we talked about the first step, we have to be rooted in Jesus. Jesus has to be Lord. If we don't get that right, nothing else matters. You won't have peace. You'll always be anxious. You'll always be worried about what's going on. So we have to anchor ourselves in Christ. That's number one. This week, I want to talk about being rooted in the Word. Because the growth begins not by trying harder, it's being rooted in Christ, but the primary way that God roots us, that God prunes us, that God stabilizes us, is through His Word. And so I want to talk about that first week was connection. This week is going to be about formation. What do we do? How do we do this? And I want to go to two Psalms. I want to go to Psalm 1, and I'm going to read the first three verses. Then I want to go to Psalm 19, and I'm going to read all 14 verses. So open up your Bibles, and let's all do this together. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." And then turn over to Psalm 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect," that's the word, "reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord," that's his word, "is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord," that's his word, "are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord," that's his word, "is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord," again, that's his word, "are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Creation. He begins Psalm 19, I love this, with creation and how creation does all these things. And it shows us the power of his word, how it's made possible. He speaks clearly and personally through his word. Here's the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. It's all here. And it says to learn that is sweeter than honey, and it revives our soul. In his word, we find hope. We find strength. We find peace. We find a connection to our God. It's a picture of stability and nourishment and fruitfulness. And not because our life is easy, because our lives are not easy. Every day there is something. And as soon as you think you got it down, as soon as you think you're in your lane and things are going right, then boom, you get hit with something that's going to mess you up. It's not because our life is easy. It's because our roots are growing deep. We have a firm foundation. We will be shaped by what we consistently listen to. I get onto my mom a lot, and she's watching this. So, Mom, this I'm stepping on your toes here. My mom watches almost 24/7. It's on her room, Fox News. That's all she watches, Fox News. And if you just watch Fox News 24/7, you're going to be angry about everything. You're angry about this. You're angry about that. You're angry about this person. You're angry about that person. You're just angry, and you're stressed because that's all you get. Whatever you listen to is what is going to shape your thinking. You will be shaped. And the Word of God, if this is what we're listening to, if this is what we're reading, if this is what we are feasting on, then we are growing deep roots, and you will find hope. You will find peace, even in the midst of the craziest storms. Psalm 1 shows us the being pictured of being a picture of being rooted, like a tree planted by the stream. And Psalm 19 shows us the power of the Word and how it makes it possible. So I have just a couple of points I want to share with you today. Number one, every life is being shaped by some voice. So what voice are you listening to? Psalm 1 begins by describing influence. Psalm 1 said this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers." You see that? Walk, stand, sit. Those are action words. And it's a progression. What you listen to, where you linger, who you become, where you walk, where you stand, where you sit, what are you doing? We live in a world that's full of voices, news, social media, opinions, fear, outrage, anger, self-help, cultural narratives. None of us are neutral. You'll hear something and it'll either rise up in you, that's wrong, or you'll say, like, yeah, that sounds good. And we let it influence our lives. But if God's Word is not shaping us, then something else is. The question is not if you're being formed, or not if you're being manipulated, but who or what is doing the forming? It's got to be the Word of God. If God's Word is not shaping you, then something else is. Number two, God's Word is meant to do more than just inform us. We don't just read it to get some good ideas. It says this again in Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You see that? In turning over to Psalm 19, it says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the person who delights in God's word and meditates, feasts on it, eats it." This is more than just reading. It's more than just information. It's more than just us checking a box. The Word of God reveals truth. It exposes lies. It renews our minds. It reorients our thoughts, our desires, and it strengthens our faith. Scripture doesn't just tell us what to believe. It trains us how to live. Psalm 19 says that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You ever been beaten up, downcast, depressed, and you isolate? And when you isolate, everything becomes magnified, and you're even more depressed, and you're more sad, and you're more angry, and you're more all of these things. But the law of the Lord is perfect, and it will revive your soul. Open your Bible and let it revive and renew you. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. I have more degrees that don't mean anything. I've been kicked out of just about every school in the country, it seems like. But all of this knowledge means nothing. In fact, the more I learn, it's the more I don't know. But when people come up to you and they, well, I know this, and you got blah, blah, it's like, you might as well blow them off, because as a matter of fact, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. We're just wind. It makes wise the simple by reading his word. The precepts of the Lord are right. It says rejoicing the heart. God's rules, God's laws, God's commandments, God's testimony, God's word, and his commandments, it's like guardrails. And if you've ever been up to the North Georgia Mountains, you know a lot of those roads go like this. And if there weren't guardrails, you might have the opportunity to slide off the side, and no telling where you would end up. And especially me, because I get distracted, and sometimes it's like, oh, that's beautiful over there. Next thing I know, I'm over there, and you don't want to do that. But his laws are like that. It keeps us, and we have freedom within that. But we don't think, we think when we first come to Christ and we think, oh, the Bible's a book of do's and don'ts and it's just going to pin me in. No, it doesn't. It gives you freedom, but it also doesn't hold back to tell you what happens when you go beyond the boundaries. The commandment of the Lord, it says, it's pure and enlightening the eyes. God's word doesn't just add information. Do you see what it says? It revives us. It stabilizes us. It clarifies us. It restores us. And that is why Scripture doesn't tell us just what to believe. It trains us how to live. The Bible is not just something that we read. The Bible is something that reads us. And I stole that from somebody. I can't remember who. So I didn't reference it. But the Bible is not just something we read. It's something that reads us. Number three, depth comes from daily, not occasional intake. Psalm 1, verse 2, the end of it says, meditates on it day and night. Day and night, not occasionally, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, not just when your life begins to fall apart. It's amazing how some people say, well, I don't believe. But then something traumatic or drastic happens in their life, and the first thing they want you to do, oh, man, will you put me on your prayer list? Why? You don't believe in prayer. But all of a sudden, it becomes real because you find yourself in a place where you have no answer, where you have no hope. And so you reach out. And for us, our roots grow slowly, quietly, and consistently, but it's every day. I think, Kathy, that's what happens to me with my gardening. I start out with a great, I'm going to do great. And I'm out there every day tending it. And then all of a sudden, I forget about it. I get busy. And then I go out and I wonder why there are weeds, or I wonder why there's bugs on the plants, or I wonder why they're not growing, or did I pour water or gasoline on it? I don't know. It looks dead. I don't know. Every day, day and night, morning, noon, night, in the car. I wouldn't tell you to read while you're driving, but you can listen to God's word. You can certainly pray while you're driving. Some of you, I've seen you drive, and I'll be praying when I see you driving. Psalm 19 says this, God's word is more desirable than gold. Even the finest gold. It says it is sweeter than the honey that's dripping from the honeycombs. That's how sweet God's word is. And that kind of desire doesn't come from just occasionally exposing yourself to his word or just learning a couple verses and saying like, yeah, I read the Bible. It comes from daily delight in his word. Here's the thing. You don't ever crave what you never taste. You don't crave what you never taste. When I was growing up, I maybe didn't have as many choices as we have today as far as restaurants and things like that. So pretty much we had the big three, which was McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and then I think it was, Steve, was it Morrison's Cafeteria in the mall? Okay, those were the three. Okay, and then things started coming. Then there was a Wendy's. Then there was a Taco Bell. Then there started to be a little bit more and more and more and more and more. And I remember when Margie and I first got married, they were like, hey, there's this great Chinese restaurant down the road. And we're like, Chinese food? Until I started to eat Chinese food. And then it was like, this is great. And then from there, sushi. And some people are like, I don't eat raw fish. Well, you don't have to. Some of it, they actually cook. But I'm talking about sushi. And it was like, man, it is good. But I would never crave that if I had never tasted it. I could sit back and say, well, I ain't eating that. Look at the way that looks. But you never crave what you don't taste. And if you don't taste God's word, you will never crave his word. If you don't begin to read and ingest what God is saying, you will never learn to love his word. Small moments, daily rhythms, faithful habits, spiritual regularity. It's not about starting strong and trying to stay strong. Yeah, there are going to be days when you end up in Leviticus, or you're going to end up in some things where God is, you're saying like, wow, what did that happen? I just got finished with the book of Job. And there are things, even that Job's friends are saying, it's like, well, you know what? That is partly true. What they're saying to him, but they're speaking for God. and they're speaking wrong, and why did God let this happen? And there are some things that you begin to question, and then you look at Job's response at the end where he says, hey, I'm just going to shut up because you are God and you are right. And so there are going to be tough things in the Bible, but you still get in there and you let it speak to you. And God will reveal himself to you. A few minutes with God every day will shape you more than just a few emotional moments once in a while. Thought about when I first became a Christ follower back in the late 70s, like at Youth Ranch and places like that. It's like, man, you get on these emotional highs. And sometimes when you watch these big churches that have praise and worship and everybody's up and everybody's hands are up and there's this big emotional experience and it's calling out to you, and yeah, you get caught up in that. Just like if you go, well, I can't say a Falcons game because you never really get caught up in that, but if you go to a real football game and you see that and you see how everybody is cheering and they're painting themselves and they're into it, and then they go home. And what happens when they go home? There's this big letdown. And they just reflect on what happened or whatever. But our Christian faith should not be like that. Every day should be up. Every day should be this opportunity to go into his presence. And sometimes going into his presence saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. And let God speak to you. Number four, the word produces stability in our lives before it's going to produce fruit. Notice the promise. This is in Psalm 1, verse 3. He is like a tree that is planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In other words, you have to be planted, and you will yield your fruit in its season. I mean, when we planted 3 Point Bible Church, when we had 15 people out on Melvin and Barbara's back porch, we were studying the book of James. And all of a sudden, a couple more started coming, and we said, man, we got to find a place. And so Denise Smith knew somebody at the Water Authority, and so we used the Water Authority building for a couple. And that very first Sunday, we had like 125 people. I mean, there was a big pole in the middle, and I had to preach like this so people could see, and, you know, people were doing this, but we had a place. And then we moved to a school, and we grew, and we continued to grow, and I thought, selfishly, man, we're just going to explode. I mean, we got a great praise team. We got a great preacher. We got a great this. We got a great that. And God said, no, it's not your season. And we started to see people move, and we saw people fall away, and we saw people just kind of drift away. And then we finally got a church home, and we move into our church home, and we're running about 100 people, well, 70 to 100, and that we're running that every week. And then COVID hits. And again, I'm thinking, man, we get a building, it's going to be like the Field of Dreams, right? You build it, and they will come. And then COVID comes. See, you can make all the plans you want, but God is the one who directs the paths. Because it's not about me. And maybe it's taken almost 66 years for me to realize it's not about me. It's not about me. And there is a season. There'll be a season where things will grow, fruit in its season, leaves that do not wither. The psalm does not say, hey, your life is going to be storm-free, that your pain is going to completely disappear. I promise you that struggles will never come. No, what it says is you will remain stable when they do. Storms don't determine our fruitfulness. Our roots do. And in the storms that we have, especially during the winter, you'll see pine trees crack and fall, but the oaks that have the deeper roots, they still are there, dropping those acorns everywhere all over my yard. Psalm 19 says, moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. The reward isn't a storm-free life. The reward is clarity, it's direction, it's endurance in the storm. Again, God's word doesn't promise ease. It promises steadiness, his faithfulness. The word of God doesn't remove the storms, but it'll keep you standing in them. It'll keep you standing in the midst of the storm. And number five, I think many believers are struggling they're starving because they're not struggling, they're starving. Some people will say, you know what, my faith feels weak. Some people say, I feel distant from God. Some people say, I'm spiritually dry. And often, the issue, I don't think, is rebellion against God. I think it's neglect. We don't drift because we stop believing. We drift because we have stopped feeding. Psalm 19 shows us something important. It says this in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. God's word revives the soul, but only if you receive it. Only if you take it. Only if you want it. A Bible is the biggest selling book in the world. Still is. I was talking to Clint today. Clint goes, Sandra bought me another Bible. Now I got four of them. I know. I've got like maybe eight. I've got like different versions. I've got different versions of the same version. You know? And it's like a Bible on a shelf, though you can have all the Bibles in the world. A Bible on a shelf means nothing. A Bible on the shelf has to be opened. A Bible on the shelf can't revive you. It's His Word that revives us. A verse unopened can't strengthen you or give you hope or give you peace or give you direction. You can't expect spiritual strength without some kind of spiritual nourishment. You cannot live a rooted life if you've got a starving soul. So, how do we fix this? What does this mean for us? How do we put this into action? First off, this is more about, let's make it simple and not about shame. I'm not trying to shame anybody, you know, you haven't been reading your Bible, because I know most of you have. You're just not reading the Word for you today. Again, it's not about shame, and this is not about legalism, okay? I got to open my Bible, and I've got to go down the list, and I've got to read this, and I've missed 2 days in a row now in my Bible devotions, and so I might as well just give up. It's not about that at all. This is about an invitation. It's an invitation. God is inviting you to say, here, this is who I am. This is my word for you. This is your hope. This is your peace. This is your strength. It's my word to you. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a perfect plan. You don't even need an hour a day. Here's what you need. You need a Bible. You need just a few minutes, and you need a willing heart. You need to start small, stay consistent. Let God do the growing, because in its season, it will produce fruit. Maybe read a short passage. Psalm 1 is a good one. Just a few, you know, what, 6 verses. Just, you know, Psalm 1, start there. Or start with some gospel chapter or a daily reading like we have there. Ask yourself 2 questions. First off, what does this show me about God? You know, as I'm reading Psalm 1, you know, be like a tree planted by the stream. What is this telling me about God? It's saying that God is going to grow my roots. God is going to nourish me. God is going to give me strength, and I will produce fruit. That is His promise. I will not wither. And then maybe ask yourself, how does this shape me today? What does this give me today? Can you imagine a church where truth, God's truth, outweighs the noise of the world, outweighs the noise of our culture? Scripture anchors emotions. A church where faith is resilient and it's not just reacting to situations. A church that's rooted in the Word is not going to be shaken by the world. And Psalm 19 ends with this prayer, and I say this prayer every week as I read the Scripture. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And that's the vision. That's the vision. A people whose heart are shaped by God's Word. A people whose lives reflect God's truths. And a church that has deep roots that grow in deep truth. And that's what He invites us into today. To be rooted in His Word. Oh, Father, we want to delight in your word, so give us hunger where we've been distracted. Father, give us consistency where we've been careless. Father, I pray for all of us that you would plant us deep in your word so that we can stand firm in any season or in any situation. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.